Chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ. Well, that means that some people are raised and some people are still in a pit someplace, huh? It's the truth. Some say, if you let Christ lift you up to higher levels, you let the anointing of God and the lifestyle that Jesus brings lift you up out of the muck, out of the mire, out of all the mist of the world. If Christ raised you, how many have been raised? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the what? Far from the peaceful shore. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Then love lifted me. Everybody say it. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Somebody say, I like that line. Everybody sing that line again. When nothing else can help. You know, there are some situations that you can get into your life when nothing else will work. Love lifted me. Stand up and sing that. I feel that this morning. So say, when nothing else helps. Say it again. When nothing else works. Glory to God. When nothing else works. When you just got messed, that just won't change, amen. Amen. When hell refuses to change to heaven, amen. When nothing else works, you can let love lift you from circumstances and situations. If then you were raised with Christ, that means you can be lifted. Everybody heard that song? That we should sing that song. Love lift us up where we belong. Well, it's not going to lift you unless you belong there. Not everybody belongs there, amen. Some people need to stay right where they are, amen? Where the eagles fly, fire in the mountain high. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Say, love never fails. Love always prevails. Tell somebody, love never fails. Love always prevails. When nothing else could, would, help, love will lift you. Somebody say, I'm about to get out of this mess. Sit down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I found a way out. If then you were raised with Christ, seek. Since a lot of people have been raised, but they're not seeking any. So you can't find no mess when you're raised. If you've been lifted out, you have to look at certain things in different situations differently. How many lifted people do we have? Do we need to preach a gospel message this morning for those that are still stuck in the mud someplace? But for you that are lifted, glory, you'll go back if you look the wrong way. You'll go back to things that God delivered you out of. If you've been lifted high above a bunch of stuff, seek something else now that you're lifted. Don't even look in that direction again. I like that seed that said, run and don't you dare look back. But if you were lifted, there's a something that you got to put your mind on. Amen. You got to dwell. Your mind's got to be focused. Your eyesight's got to be focused. Your heart's got to be focused. Your vision's got to be focused. Somebody say, seek. I'm lifted, therefore I seek things that are high above. Therefore I seek things high above where Christ. Somebody say, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now, I'm reading a little bit deeper translation than what you might have. Do y'all like my translation? I'm going to read it to you. It's, listen, if then you were raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. I tell you what, when you know that Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, everything is all right. When you have a knowledge that God is still on the throne, I don't care how the winds go. I don't care what circumstances arise. I don't care what the future looks like. It doesn't matter. Christ is seated far above everything, and he's got it all under control. If then you were raised above, seek those things that are above. Get up above those things. I'm going to say, get over it. Wow. Hallelujah. Say, I'm going to get over this. I'm going to go far above it. Far above it. Amen. You can stay there if you want to. But if you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Don't go in the gutter anymore. Don't go back to the waller. Don't go back to things that God brought you out of, those old ways of living, those ways of thinking. God delivered you and set you free. If then you were raised with Christ, that means Christ just doesn't save you and leave you there. He saves you and lifts you up, makes things a little bit better, gives you a higher mindset, raises your class level. Therefore, mind things above. Now we talk about mind. Everybody look at somebody and say, mind your business. Well, it tells you where to put your mind. Tells you where to put your mind. Say, I'm not even going to think about the things below. Somebody say, that is beneath me. Everybody stick your nose up real quick. I'm not going to tell you about my nose story that I know. Amen. But everybody stick your nose up real quick. Everybody stick their nose up real quick and say, that is far beneath me right now. Yes. The mind the things above and not the things on earth. You need to let the devil know you're not going to drag me down the earthbound mess ever again. Hallelujah. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are stuck. Amen. I'm not going back again. I refuse to even think about it. I'm minding my business, and my business is up in the heavenly somewhere where God's working it all out. For you died. You know what? You're dead. There was a funeral. Amen. When you were lifted, amen, that old person's not there anymore. I had a friend one time that was, you know, my friend Bill. Bill got saved, and he had another friend that had gotten saved after he had gotten saved. And when before they were saved, this friend used to be, what I hear, a real trip. I mean, this guy had done some wild things, and every once in a while, Bill would just tell the stories of all the things that the old boy used to do. You know, he used to do this, he used to do that. And he said, I can't wait to meet this guy. We're so crazy. This guy was so crazy. Do you remember this? He did this, he did this. And all one day we were in another state, and all of a sudden my friend said, I just can't wait for you to hear Reuben. You're going to hear all these stories of things that happened a long time ago. So we finally got up there and met the guy. And he said, you remember this, man? Do you remember this? And, you know, I had to smile like I want to hear everything that they've been through for the last 10 years, you know. And he said, you remember you did this? You remember you did it? And the guy looked him in the face and said, no. I don't remember a thing. He said, God has washed my mind and restored me, and the former things I don't even remember anymore. See, I forgot about it. Hallelujah. Set your mind. Now, see, when you set your mind on things above, you can forget about the things that are beneath you. Amen? Not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life was hidden with Christ in God. Whenever Christ, our life, is revealed, then also you will be revealed with him in glory. Then put to death. Somebody say, put it to death. Kill it. Don't Christianize it. Kill it. There's nothing worse than religious flesh. Anybody ever seen religious flesh? Come on. You know, doesn't look like God, doesn't smell like God, but always got a scripture. Doesn't have the heart of God, but always got a prayer. I mean, sometimes you can get in some of our kind of churches, you know what I'm saying? Far from the fruit of Jesus, but always got to shake. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil, lust, and covetousness, and idolatry, on account of which things the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. Oh, Lord, supposed to say wrath. Say it one more time, wrath. Let's look and see what book, if we're still in the New Testament. That word just keeps popping up all over the place. God is a good God. Uh-huh. But you understand he wants it to be good for everybody. All right. Of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. Somebody say, it's coming. Oh, is it coming? It's coming. Hallelujah. Among whom you also walked at one time. So you used to walk. You don't walk that way anymore. When you were living in these, but now you put off all these things also. Somebody say, get rid of all this junk. This is all the junk that's got to go. You're going to hear it whether you want to hear it or go, whether you want to hear it or not. Somebody say, get rid of it. Right here in the Bible. Let's see some of the things we can get rid of. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, get rid of all these things. Sometimes we need to stop putting on and start putting off. Therefore, put off these things also. So I'm saying, it's like God going to people that have come out of the world and gotten rid of all this heavy stuff. And they say, boy, am I looking good now. He said, wait a minute, you got to take that off too. Hold on there, girlfriend. You can't wear that with me. Anybody ever gone out with, you see some, you know, my sisters were a trip. They would go out when they were in the world. They'd go out to go someplace. And before they'd go out, they'd have the girlfriend inspection. They'd look each other up and down and say, hey, that's fine, but you got to take that scarf off. That's not working. You got to take that off. But it's like Jesus looks at his people every now and then and says, hey, you might have gotten rid of all this other real rough stuff, but there's still some stuff you need to take off. I mean, it doesn't look as good as you think it does. Somebody say, there's still some mess. It's like, I can get a little bit crude, you know, that's okay. It's like people that walk out of the bathroom with toilet paper stuck on the bottom of their shoe. No matter how good they're dressed, no matter how, you know, I saw that when we were out at the Denny's restaurant with Brother Paul, lady come out of the restaurant, she was looking real good, her head was real high, but she was carrying a big old stream of toilet paper on the back of her shoes. Well, that's the way saints are sometimes. We're looking all good walking, amen, dragging this big old train behind us, you know. But thank God, God checks us out. Thank God y'all look at me. We got this podium that every now and then, and Rita went and bought me a big old mirror, you know, because she got sick of seeing my fly and all these other stuff. She said, will you please look at yourself before you go walking around? So say, you better take a look at yourself. Just look at you. So many times we're so busy looking at everybody else and checking everybody else out and doing everybody else's hair. So say, take a look at yourself. It goes with that thought. You say, hey, everybody wants to pluck out the little speck in their brother's eye. They want to go get that little specks out of their eye. I see the little thing in you, and they walk around with big old beams and planks in their eyes, big old street sign post in their eyes. Amen. Somebody say, take a look at yourself. Amen. You'll never be what God wants you to be until you put your glasses on and look in a mirror. When you read the Word of God, you read the Word of God not to expose somebody else's stuff, but you want to look at yourself. It takes God to show you who you really are. You'll never put your makeup on straight or have your hair looking right unless you look at yourself. If you want to look better, take a really good look at yourself. Put off all of these things. Also, everybody say wrath. Say that word one more time, wrath. That means when things happen, they've got to pay for every penalty. I'm going to lash you really good. So say, that's got to go. That's got to go. You can't be in heavenly places and high and things high above when you got those kind of things. You get booted from heavenly places. You lose the peace of God every time you do that. You could be in a heavenly realm all in the spirit, and all of a sudden wrath will come, and you go. Somebody said, you get the big shoot. You get the big red ejection button from you know, walking in peace and the grace of God. As soon as you get into that step, you know, you just descend. You can't stay in good places when you're living like that and you're walking like that. Wrath must go. Also, anger, malice, evil speaking, and shameful words out of your mouth. Well, I believe that you can be in the spirit and out of the spirit. Do you know that? You can be in the spirit and out of the spirit. And God wants us to dwell in heavenly places. Well, you know, you can be in the spirit. You get up and get your worship tapes on. You turn on the 3 hours of TBN. You know, you've watched Joyce Meyer. Amen, right, Brother David? Seen all the Joyce Meyer. You've seen Creflo Dollar. You've seen all the people. And you, around about 10 o'clock, you're really rolling into the spirit. You're in the spirit. You're hearing the things of God. You're seeing the things of God. And you're just in the spirit. And all of a sudden, these little things come up as you're in the spirit. Opportunities to get into the wrath. opportunities to speak the wrong thing, to say the wrong things. As soon as you do that, do you lose your salvation? No, you don't lose your salvation, but you leave your place of peace. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, you're not going to be able to flow in those things that God wants you to flow in when you're constantly being ejected from the place where those things naturally happen. You can't make yourself be righteous. You can't make yourself joyful. And you can't make yourself have peace. Those things naturally come from the atmosphere that you're dwelling in. If you want to stay in the atmosphere where those things naturally happen, get rid of these things and you can stay there and they will naturally happen for you. It's like if you walk into a room where you smell gas. You know, Crystal decided to cook one day. We decided that we're going to stop spending so much money. We said, we're going to stop spending so much money around the church, and we're going to start cooking and stop going out to eat all the time. And so everybody had a chance to cook, and I cooked. When I cooked, y'all, it was so good. I laid it out. You know, they had never eaten. When the anointing of God came down, I had about seven angels. One was stirring the peas. One was stirring the green beans. Amen. They were all working. You know, and it was nice. It was candles, everything. Everything was just right. Jesse did okay, you know. And then it was Crystal's turn to cook, and we think, well, here's a woman of God. She's really going to wear it out because she cares. So Crystal goes over there to the house, and she decides to cook that wonderful meal. What was that thing called that you were making? Tuna helper? Amen. She got that box out, you know, under the anointing of God, the tuna helper, and she got the can opener out, you know. And it was just the little box of tuna helper and tuna fish. And Crystal decided to light the stove, and Crystal stirring the stove for about 15 minutes, Crystal. You know, she's stirring the stove, and the noodles, the more she stirred, she kept hearing that crunch, crunch. You know, it wasn't getting soft like those noodles are supposed to get. She said, how long do you have to stir these little, you know, she's stirring it, the milk, it's not blending with the water, and it's still going around. And she said she just started to feel kind of dizzy, and she didn't know why she was feeling dizzy. Crystal didn't know that the fire wasn't going, but the gas was going. So she's in the house cooking with all this gas all over the house feeling dizzy. She was in an atmosphere, and things were in the air that caused her to respond to what was in the air. A lot of people act dizzy because of the atmosphere they choose to dwell in. You ever seen dizzy Christian slipping in a slide in? Full of the Holy Ghost this minute, call me 15 minutes later, I might tell you off. How? Depending on the atmosphere that we dwell in. See, your atmosphere makes all the difference in the world. You slip when you don't put away these things. Is this helping anybody this morning? Do not lie to one another. Stop lying. Having put off the old man, somebody say, put the old man off, and also his doctrine. See, many people have killed the old person. You know, you killed the old rod, you killed the old man, but you forgot to kill his doctrine. They killed Hitler a long time ago, didn't they? Hitler probably killed himself, but he's left. He's gone. He's no longer in the ball game. But there's still some Nazis out there, isn't it? Still doing their stuff. Well, that's the same thing with people. You might have killed the old man, but you forgot to kill his practices, his doctrine. You must stomp out also his teaching, or they will destroy you. So it's not enough to kill the old man spiritually, but you must also go for every one of his practices and every one of his teachings. I say, I'm going for the teachings and practices of the old man, the way of dissecting things. And people refuse to do that, and they wonder why they don't have this effective life. They say, well, I must not be saved. Why is all this stuff going on? Well, you might have killed the old man, but you forgot to kill all the practices of the old man and the teachings of the old man. And having put on the new man, having been renewed in the full knowledge according to the image of the one creating him. Somebody say, put on the new man. Listen, you can't put clothes on, clean clothes on, a dirty body. You ever met people that do that? You know, it'd be like working in the yard, just going crazy, and it's time to go out to eat dinner, you know, and you forgot. You got to take off some stuff before you put new things on. You see bums on the street that are living on the street. You know, they have about four pair of pants on, you know. One that they had on last week, They can't lose those pants, but they're just going to stick another pair of pants over top of the old stuff. That's how many people try to live this Christian life. They try to put this God stuff on top of all their other stuff, all their other mess. You know, that's where you get those people that are still, how can you be so religious and so holy but so messed up at the same time? Why? They forgot to take off the other outfit before they put on the new one. Don't put on this Jesus stuff. Don't put on the Christian stuff. Don't put on any of the stuff until you decide to take off the other stuff. So say, take it off. People don't like to go to churches where they start, you know, we should have strip music, you know, and just tell people, it's time to take it off. All of it's got to go. Don't try to cover it up. Be transparent and deal with it all. Don't try to put Jesus on top of all those old issues and think, hey, this one will slide. It'll come back 20 years later. You'll be in ministry somewhere, preaching somewhere, pastoring somewhere, doing some strange thing, and that thing you put on, it's still there. Take off the grave clothes so that Christ can put on the new stuff. No man puts new oil or new wine into old wine skins. The anointing that God wants to give you in this next phase of life, every new thing He wants to do, everything that He wants to do, this grace that He wants to give you for the next season to come, for the next months to come, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's not, you know, there's a plan for your life. What you need in the weeks and days to come is going to come in grace and anointing from God the Father. But you can't contain that grace and contain that power and contain that anointing in old wineskin. Renew yourself that you can get the strength that you need to make it every day. Say, put it on. But before you put it on, take it off. Now, I just want to read a scripture to you. This is, once you've taken off stuff, once you've gotten all the stuff taken off, listen, chapter 3, verse 16. Once you've taken off the works of the old man, all these other things, listen, then you can let the word of God dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching, and exhorting, and exhort yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's a very special scripture for some of us that have been here for a while. Brother Marty Blackwalter came here and spoke that word over Nations Church. You remember Jenna and some of y'all that were here, and Rita, who were here. He preached that for 3 days. He said, listen, in everything, and whatever you do, listen, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's how we got to live. That's what it's all about. But many people want to sing a song of God, you know, in a foreign land. You can't sing the song of God in a foreign land, in a foreign place. What do you mean, Brother Ryan, by singing the song of God in a foreign place? Get on to what God has for you, His destiny for you, the place of peace, the place of wholeness. Then sing the Lord's song. Listen, and whatever you do in word or in work, do all things in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Once you take it off, put it on. Put it back on. Put on Jesus. Once you take off the old works of the flesh and the old things, the old doctrines and old teachings, old lifestyle, old way of thinking, all that junk. The Word of God wouldn't tell us to take it off if it weren't possible. He wouldn't tell us to take it off if it weren't possible. It is possible. It is possible to change. I believe in change. How do you realize that you need to change just a little bit? Yeah. Boy, if I could kill some of the things in myself, my life would be so much better. You can change if you want to. And this is how you change. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, exhorting yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Why don't you stand right where you are? I want you to confess this, say, God, is in control. God is in the heavenlies. I want you to know that this morning. God is in the heavenlies. God is on your side if you're on his side. You got to understand that the right side is your side. And many people want to say, God is on my side, when they're on the left. You don't understand that the left is not your side. You're on the wrong side. You get over to your side, and God will be on your side. I will change. Confess that right now in Jesus' name. I will to change with the grace of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. And those things that won't move in my life, those strong hands that refuse to break, strongholds that refuse to break, love. The love of God is coming your way. Some of you don't understand. You see great things happening to you. You're getting blessed beyond measure, and you don't understand why you're being so blessed. When you get tremendously blessed, behind that blessing is the power of change. Grace and anointing and love manifested toward people is the anointing of change. Notice that when you start getting blessings, you don't know where it comes from. Somebody walks up to you and does something. Why? For the kindness and love of God and the mercy of God leads men to repentance. When there's a hard thing in your life, you know, you say, I can't get over this. I can't handle this. Everybody in the world wants to beat you in the head, you know, knock you over the head, close your nose in the Bible and just hold it there trying to till your nose bleeds. All those things, none of those things work. When there's something that refuses to break in your life, God's going to send somebody anointed just like Jesus. Going to come and love the hell out of all of us. Pray this prayer right now. Father, send supernatural relationships into my life that will love the hell out of me. In Jesus' name. I receive it. I receive it, and I identify what that love is for. I identify that grace. And all the people that God's put in your life, some of you have blessed me, and we blessed each other. I thank you. Every blessing that you bless people from, it changes them for the good. It changes them for the good. So when you do gifts and when you do different things, when you bless people, pray over that blessing. Amen. Pray over that offering and say, I sow this with the spirit of change on it. Love never fails. Are we learning anything? Love never fails. So we're going to be like Jesus, say, I bless you in Jesus' name. The Bible says that's why you bless your enemies and do certain things. Why? Because you need that enemy to change, don't you? God's not concerned what makes you feel better. He's concerned about what brings about a change. And it works. Study this, just real. Look at your life and find out. When are the times when you've gone through the greatest change? Some of the greatest change. Many people go through transition. If you're saying, when I went through a crisis, I went through a lot of stuff. Crisis, and the crisis developed a change in my life. That crisis didn't develop a change in your life. Those that came and blessed you while you were in the crisis made the change. So we don't have to wait for crisis to come for the spirit of change to come. Hallelujah. That's why God wants every believer to be blessed beyond measure, that they're able to give into every good work, because there's a whole lot of change that needs to take place. May God bless us to the level of the change that needs to happen. Just start to pray in the Holy Ghost for 3 minutes. Lord, I'm open to receive love. I'm open to receive grace. And Lord, I'm open to be a vessel. Some of you ministers, just keep praying. Some of you ministers, some of you stronger people, don't you dare try to disciple anybody unless you have the ability to bless them to change. You can make a difference in the lives of others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go with the good news of the gospel. I want everybody in this room to know God's got a good thing for you. God's got a high plan for you. He's got a plan to bring you blessing, amen, not to destroy you, not to hurt you, not to harm you, amen, but to give you an expected end. If God is working with you, something good's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's so good. Hallelujah. We always get here. I'm done.